Good holiday weekend and welcome in to Riddle and the Reporter. Finally, after 2 weeks, we are live this Saturday morning from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every Saturday from 9 to 11 here on Out. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser. I'm switching times back to the 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings because of our contract with Vanderbilt and basketball coming back. Fridays were just a little bit too conglomerated here on 102.5 The Game. So we talked to our leader, Chase McCabe, and we said we will go back to Saturdays from 9 to 11 so that we can keep our weekly show at a regular time because we didn't want to keep moving back and forth. So we're just going to go back to our old time here. But happy Thanksgiving, fellas. How was everybody's gathering with family? Hopefully the food was good, family happy. Did you have a good holiday?
Yeah, it was good. I can't complain. Well, and we always do canned golf after we eat, by the way.
Canned golf?
Yes.
I'm not familiar.
We get cheap soda cans, and we smack the crap out of them with whatever iron you want from your golf club arsenal.
Okay. So you just slam into some cans?
Yep.
Slamming cans. Okay. Yeah, what was your favorite dish this year for Thanksgiving?
I always enjoy going for the smoked turkey.
Okay.
That is my favorite. And I always get sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top.
That was going to be my...
That's a great one.
That was going to be my added question there was, did you have the marshmallows on the sweet potatoes?
Yes.
So my family, when we do it at home in Louisville, we do cold turkey. So cold turkey is not my favorite. But the sides that we have are actually pretty good. So
okay. My
grandmother makes great mac and cheese, green beans, mashed potatoes. And then I always kind of nuke the turkey and put some gravy, some seasoning, and then, you know, I just...
So, but did you always eat the cold turkey when you were growing up, or did they have to warm it up for you?
No, so I actually, I picked, so my turkey routine with my family, since it is cold turkey, I'm not a fan. I picked something off of what my elementary school did. I don't know if your elementary school did Thanksgiving-themed lunches
around
the time of year.
Yeah, they did.
But my elementary school would always, like, shredded turkey. And then they would put gravy on it. And I always thought that was really – it was so tasteful. So basically what I would do is I would make my own makeshift shredded turkey with some gravy and kind of just jazz it up and do my own version of that with a really good size. And then ultimately having a good Thanksgiving. So that's what I would do. Connor, how was your Thanksgiving and what was your favorite dish of the day?
It was good, man. You know, it's kind of relaxing, not having to work that day. You know, man, I'm huge on the stuffing. Stuffing is my favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Is that the best dish at your family's gathering?
I would say so. I love the stuffing, but the sweet tooth in me loves the pies. I love cherry pie.
Fair enough. I'm going to shout out my Aunt Trina here. She always makes this Heath bar cake. And I love Heath, but she's been making it for years. And because I loved it so much, back when I was still living at home, she would make it for my birthday. So shout out to Aunt Trina with a Heath bar cake.
That does sound pretty good.
Oh, dude, it's
I like
amazing.
That.
Like inside the cake, it has like caramel like in the middle. It's ridiculous. It's so good.
But so it really sounds like a Snickers pie.
That's what it kind of is, but instead of Snickers, it's Heath bar.
I got you.
So
I got you.
Either way, really good stuff for Thanksgiving. But the one thing that wasn't very good was Thanksgiving football. I mean, all the games were horrible.
Womp, womp.
I mean, they sucked. Like, I was watching the first half of the Lions and Packers. That's probably the game I watched the most of.
Yeah.
And the Lions just simply couldn't get back into it. Kind of clicked it off in the fourth quarter when I realized they weren't going to come back. I took a long nap, which was much better than the Cowboys-Commanders game.
You let us know on Twitter that you had a nap and that you didn't miss very much.
Except for Dolly.
That's true.
But I got the recap of Dolly.
I didn't really want to watch that, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think Dolly, for her age, looks fantastic. So, regardless. And then the night slate with the Niners and Seahawks, I'm sorry. I mean, that was over at halftime. So, and then, of course, we get the first Black Friday game. And, you know, that was going to be a great game if Aaron Rodgers was healthy. But another blowout. So, you know, four really ugly games for the Thanksgiving slate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any football, or were you just like, yeah?
The game I watched the most was probably the Cowboys.
Okay, really?
I would say so. We were finishing up watching the Lions when I got to my uncle's. And it was around the time that halftime had just ended.
Mm-hmm.
So we were watching that. I didn't really watch the beginning because Kristen and I had to get ready. But, look, it was a fun game. I thought the Lions were fun to watch. But I watched more of that Cowboys game. My brother and I, we had more conversation around our fantasy football players or just what we wanted to see from the Cowboys. And also, the Lions continue their awful streak of losing on Thanksgiving as well.
The NFL needs to do better, okay? I mean, and don't get me wrong, I felt like Lions-Packers going into this Thanksgiving weekend was going to be the best game, and it was. But when it comes to the Cowboys, like, can we quit scheduling the Commanders to play the Cowboys?
They're not great.
Like, it was an awful matchup. Like, I knew it was going to be a blowout. Just simply because of how the Cowboys match up with the Commanders. I mean, they've allowed the most sacks in the league,
mm-hmm.
and the Cowboys' pass rush is their strength. Like, it was just bound and determined it was going to be a blowout. And then, you know, the Seahawks have just been owned by the 49ers, even through their resurgence with Geno Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just – it's not even fair.
I didn't like that game. That was my least favorite game of the day.
I don't know. In my opinion, NFL, let's put some games that we know are going to be close. Like, let's figure this out. Because Cowboys and Commanders, isn't it? Cowboys-Eagles should have been Thanksgiving. San Francisco, like, I don't know. San Francisco-Detroit, that would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick actual contenders to play against one another's and not just these, just because they're division rivals
right.
We'll throw them into the mix.
Also, too, the Titans have not played on Thanksgiving since 2008.
I remember that. They were the undefeated Titans.
They stomped the Lions.
Well, they were – I think that was the year they were 10-0,
yep.
and the Lions were 0-10.
I think so. And then before that, the Titans played in 97 against the Cowboys, and the Titans won 27-14. That was a long time ago, though. 1997.
Yeah, I was one.
Yep, the Titans beat the Cowboys 27-14. Then in 2008, fast forward, the Titans beat the Lions 47-10.
And I do remember watching that game because I don't know. I have a lot of memories of that 08 Titans team. I don't know why. Maybe
well, that's like childhood, like core memory.
I feel like that was the best Titans team I have watched
since I started
watching football, because the whole McNair, Eddie George teams, I mean, that was a little bit before my time when I started watching football. So, but either way, yeah, Thanksgiving football was a dud. Hopefully Sunday makes up for it with some of the matchups we have going on there. But another thing happened in the world of sports that I just have to address this. And I don't know if you saw this circling on social media, but did you see Greg Popovich hop on the arena mic?
When they
were playing at home against the Clippers, telling the fans to quit booing Kawhi Leonard?
I've never seen a coach do that. Why would you even do that? That is ridiculous. I don't understand.
We actually have the clip. So if you haven't heard this, while Kawhi Leonard was shooting a free throw, the Spurs fans, which he, you know, tried to get out of San Antonio, which he ultimately did, leaving them high and dry. So the Spurs fans are booing one of their former players that, you know, ditched them. And Greg hops on the PA mic to tell them to quit booing so it doesn't hurt Kawhi's feelings. Here's that audio.
All goes on Keldon Johnson. Kind of a delay here. But when you have a game like this where a team opens up 3-21, given the schedule that's upcoming, you would like to put this far out of reach as soon as you can. I state the obvious. Do give some credit to Greg Popovich's Spurs, who have bounced back.
Excuse me for a second. Can we stop all the booing? Let these guys play. It's got no class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
I don't know what has less class, him saying that or the fans booing like they should during a game.
Oh, no. No, boo Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. If you're a star player that has led my team to success, and then when the going gets tough, you just want to bail and go somewhere else, like, no, I'm going to boo you. And that's the thing, is like, why in the world? This is professional sports. Kawhi Leonard has made hundreds of millions of dollars playing in the NBA. And who is Greg Popovich to tell the fans that pay his salary
I don't understand.
To tell them what to do when they're paying hundreds of dollars to bring them and their families to watch your team play?
Makes no sense.
Get out of here.
No sense to me at all.
This is loser talk.
That reminded me, the first sport I thought of, because I tried to think of maybe something that was synonymous with what he had done. Maybe like WWE, but like that's where it should stay. That's where you should have stuff like that stay, because you don't want someone to feel privileged enough at some point in time to go over the PA system again and say something heinous. Now, he didn't go off necessarily. He didn't, you know, I mean, really, it could have been a lot worse. Really, it could have been way worse than that. But what came over him to go over to the PA and grab the microphone? Like, does the PA guy just go, oh, this is Greg Popovich, I need to give him my microphone?
Yeah,
like,
one of the greatest NBA coaches of all time comes over to you, likely a part-time worker at
the
stadium.
Give me that mic.
Give me that. And what are you going to tell? What are you going to tell the Hall of Fame NBA coach? No? You're going to tell him no? Absolutely not. No, you're not. And for Greg I don't know. It's just soft. And I feel like Greg Popovich used to hold so much respect in the NBA of his, like, tough kind of gritty demeanor. I mean, he was the Bill Belichick of the NBA.
He was.
Now he's just soft.
Yeah.
He's old. He's soft. He's lost his fastball. And it's like, this is why nobody likes the NBA anymore. Because everybody has to be friends. Everybody has to be buddy-buddy. There's no rivalries. There's none of that. Everybody's practicing, trying to team up. This is why the NBA is such a watered-down product. I used to love this league.
Yeah.
And I used to watch the NBA all the time. Now I never watch it. Barely even in the playoffs, unless it's a crazy big matchup for the finals.
Sure.
You won't catch me watching NBA. And this is part of the reason why.
Right. And I think it's so crazy to me that we even had this happen. Now, where else could this really take place? I mean, the NBA is, you know, the one sport where you could go over to the PA and do that. Hockey, you can't really do that. Plus, the PA is way upstairs in Nashville, so you couldn't walk all the way up the stairs and do that. So you would basically have to assassinate Paul McCann, which nobody could get that man whatsoever. So you could not get up there and take that microphone.
That would be like Mike Vrabel going over to the head referee in the middle of a game and being like, hey, man, give me that. And he grabs his mic and tells the fans, quit booing Malik Willis out on here.
They could be, you know, like, we've heard hot mics over the years.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't happen very much in other sports. The referees do a pretty good job, or there's just a equipment malfunction when they just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they say when they don't know how to turn it off, typically. But I found that hysterical that Greg Popovich decided to go over to the PA. But, like, why was that any different than any other free throw that he has shot there as a visitor? That made no sense to me.
I don't know. I think it's more of less, and this is some of the comments that were under these. Maybe since they have Wembanyama now and they're a really bad team around him, maybe he's looking for a future reunion, having a veteran Kawhi Leonard come and play with Victor Wembanyama.
That's very optimistic.
I don't know. Either way. But
no way.
Before we wrap up our opening headline segment, I do need to shout out Jeffrey Simmons.
He was
awarded Week 12 NFLPA Community MVP.
For passing out turkeys.
Yes, 500 turkeys passed out to the local Nashville community. So, you know, we get on Jeffrey Simmons sometimes with some of his antics on the field and, you know, some of the personal fouls and maybe, you know, allegedly going after Odell Beckham Jr. after the Ravens game.
Yeah.
If we're gonna crap on Jeff Simmons sometimes, you know, we got to give him his props. I mean, great stuff doing that for the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm sure a lot of families around here appreciated that. So shout out Jeffrey Simmons for winning that award and doing some great community service for Nashvillians for the holiday. But coming up next, talking Titans 3-7 after a tough loss in Jacksonville. Diana Russini, she's at it again. She's got a report in The Athletic talking about Mike Vrabel and his job security. We're going to get into that report coming up next here on Riddle and the Reporter. Judy Riddle, Nick Keyser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
You think your job security is an issue, Mike, or going to be?
Oh, Paul, I don't try to concern myself with that. I really am focused on these players. I hurt for them. I played 14 years, won some games, won some championships. I am frustrated for the players. I'm disappointed for the players. I want them to have success. I know how hard they work and they put into it. So that's what my focus is. My focus is on coaching this team, of trying to get these guys to understand that there's a fine line in this league of winning and losing, and finding a way to get a win. That's what I'm focused on. I'll let you guys, you know, fire me each week or not fire me. I apologize. I appreciate your question. I do. I will always understand that. We have to improve and we have to win. Those are things that we have to do. I'm going to come to work. I'm going to get up. I'm going to sleep 5 hours like I do. And I'm going to come with a resolve. And I'm going to be thankful this week with Thanksgiving. I'm going to be thankful for this opportunity that I have to coach. I'm going to be thankful for my family. I'm going to be thankful for this team. And I'm going to coach the hell out of them like I do every week. And I'm not, you know, it, you know, I love Romeo Crennel. Not only was my position coach, I got to coach with him. And he always used to say, it's a great life. You don't let it beat you down. And, you know, we're not going to let it beat it down, but we're going to get back to work. And you can still be frustrated and upset and disappointed. But, you know, I'm also going to be thankful and hopeful, you know, for the opportunity that I get to coach this football.
That was Mike Vrabel on Sunday after the Jaguars whooped up on the Titans 34-14. And Paul Kuharsky asked him, do you feel like your job is in jeopardy? How do you feel about your job security right now? And he said, that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about winning games. So I thought that was a good answer by Mike Vrabel. But Diana Russini came out in The Athletic, and I found this really interesting because we know that when Diana Russini says something about the Titans, that she has a lot of connections with Vrabel himself, we assume, and also with management. You know, she was here on draft night, and it seemed like she really does have the scoop when it comes to the organization. So when she says something about this team, it carries a lot of weight. So I'm going to read a little snippet of what she wrote about Vrabel and the Titans. And I quote, recently, the 2021 AP Coach of the Year answered question about his job status from local reporters and was adamant that he is more concerned with getting his team to play better. She quotes him and says, I don't try to concern myself with that, he said. I'm really focused on these players. I hurt for them. I played 14 years, won some games, won some championships. I am frustrated for these players. So she basically comes out and says his job security is not at risk and that the Titans believe in him as the guy going forward. So, Nick, I go to you and I pose the question of, do you agree with this? Do you think that the Titans should have faith in Vrabel, you know, regardless of the outcome of how this season ends up?
I think the most important thing to keep in context here is it was worth asking. Paul did a good job going ahead and getting out in front of most people, I would say, and asking this question. Now, a lot of big heads, you know, not to say that they are big-headed necessarily, but, you know, the insiders will go in and, you know, do their work and figure out what they're hearing as well. And I think that that was just the due diligence part from Diana because of what we heard from Vrabel. You just quoted it, and he said it there in the clip coming back. And I feel like what the case is for the Titans, yeah, you've got to ask that question, but it's ultimately a no right now. It's not happening. You know, that's exactly what most people would assume, and that is the case as of now. But we will go back to John Robinson being fired when nobody thought that that could happen. Not to say that this is apples to apples whatsoever, but it's a good idea to ask that question because there's a lot of speculation of where would Vrabel go if he became a free agent coach? Well, we know he would go to New England if that job ever opened up, more than likely. You know, but the same could be said about any other vacancy in the NFL, and would it make sense for him to go there? But we know why it's obvious for him to go to New England. Now, Junie, one thing that I'm thinking about here in the grand scheme of all of this, and Diana does a good job, PK does good work, the question I would have is, who's your coach going into a new stadium, and who is your coach going to be moving forward with, perhaps with what is the franchise quarterback now in Will Levis? And so if the answer already is it's not happening, I think we already know. Sometimes the answer is what you already know, honestly. But this is a good report, and I like that we are asking this question now.
So I think it would be, and this is just my opinion, I know that a lot of Titans fans are kind of fed up with Mike Vrabel, but and again, this season, I put a significant portion, I don't know the exact maybe, you know, 30, 40%, 50%. What's the blame for Mike Vrabel on this year? And necessarily, I would have to say he bears at least 25 to 30% of the blame, you know.
Okay.
But part of the reason they're in this situation is because of what John Robinson did. I mean, mm-hmm. they were stacking bad drafts.
Yep.
And when you look at who's the leader in the organization, John Robinson was above Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. He hired him. He had been here longer. He had drafted guys like Jeff Simmons and Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry and all these guys. But for me, I felt like if they fired Vrabel right now, this isn't the right time, especially if you're going to invest in a rookie quarterback, Will Levis. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just completely, you know, turn over the coaching staff when you're trying to invest in a young quarterback. I mean, him going into year two, he's going to have to learn a completely new system, new leadership, new everything.
Sure, but let's stop there for a second. Wouldn't it be a good time to change? Not to say that I don't agree with you, but wouldn't it be okay to change the regime because he is so young, Junie?
Listen, you know, a lot of talking points on this station in particular, you know, kind of about the cap being fake.
Right, yeah.
This is where this kind of plays into
it. Oh, yeah.
Because you can make an argument that the cap in the NFL is fake. Like, you can make it.
Sure.
But I think it's only for certain organizations because some owners have the resources to be able to go and pay players out of pocket with their, you know, with their own money outside of the salary cap with signing bonus money, and some organizations don't. Mm-hmm. And the Titans are one of those organizations that they need cap space in order to go and get big-time players.
Yep.
For me, I felt like Vrabel and Ran were kind of on a discount budget this offseason to try and fix all the problems that they had.
They got all their players from Circle K.
They didn't have a lot of cap space, so they had to go and fill a ton of positions with a bunch of backup guys that they were hoping to, quote-unquote, coach up
in order
to make this team. But this offseason, mm-hmm. I feel like next year is the year that we can truly put Mike Vrabel on the hot seat. Like I said, Amy Adams Strunk doesn't have all that money. When you're talking about the Titans going into this offseason, number one, with their record, they're going to have a top 10 draft pick, more than likely.
I would say
also,
so.
Also, they're going to have anywhere from 75 to upwards to $90 million in cap space mm-hmm. this offseason because they're moving off a lot of big contracts this year. So they're going to have money to play with, a young quarterback on a rookie deal, and this is going to be the offseason that are going to say, Ran, you can do it. Vrabel, mm-hmm. you can do it.
Yep.
Because they're going to have the say, they're going to have the resources to actually go out and get quality players to beef up this roster.
Right.
This year, I just think that where they ended last year with the 7-game losing streak and all the holes, they didn't have everything to build this team up to be a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think this is a conversation that has to be pushed off until next year, and then we'll see where that goes.
Here's where I see all this developing, maybe in terms of the structure and maybe how Vrabel got as much influence as he does. I think that with the reputation that he built for himself while John was here as GM, over time, we knew that the final say was John. John drafted the players. John traded. He traded everything. You know, we've seen things go awry. There were tons of gaffes by John. But Vrabel's not completely out of the clear as well. But over the course of the time of Vrabel's reputation growing and him becoming a really good coach in this league, that left leeway for him to maybe go, I'd like to have more say on who we have on this team and guys I feel like best fit us. That's what I feel like he may be saying to the Titans organization. Now that you usher in somebody completely new, Rant has to get used to that leadership. He has to get used to the fact of, okay, Vrabel was in here, Mike was in here that was calling some shots. He was doing his due diligence on certain players. And you just alluded to it. They went out and they got what they thought might be good for them this season, and they're getting what they're paying for. We've been there. We've talked about that. Now, this offseason, when they offload, they can go get better players. They can shed off the players that they don't want anymore.
Yeah.
And so everybody is seeing this unfold. You have a 3-7 record. Like, let's just be honest. Like, this is what you're getting. So
all in all, I just name me a team that has had success when you've had multiple consecutive years of bad drafts. Like, mm-hmm. this team, you know, the story on this year's draft class in 2023 is yet to be written, so we don't necessarily know.
No.
But you're talking about this team hasn't had a good draft class since the 2019 draft when they went out and got Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown and company. And so it's just not sustainable when you're doing that. So this year's draft class looks promising. Mm-hmm. But, again, we got to see them take that next step forward this second half of the season and going into next year. And also we got to see Rand – you know, do his job and get another good draft class and another good free agency class, and then try to see if they can build off of that. But that is yet to be seen. But Bavarian Beer House this week is Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. It is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head over to thegamenashville.com this week in order to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. But coming up next, though, I want to stick to this Diana Russini report because there was a little snippet at the very end of the Titans portion in this article that kind of raised an eyebrow for me. It had nothing to do with Mike Vrabel, but the future at the quarterback position. I want to get into that coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Is it possible to truly evaluate Will Levis with what he's dealing with right now?
Yeah, you can evaluate how he does under pressure. I mean, I think I'm actually really impressed with the guy. You know, at one point in the second half on those two touchdown drives, I think he completed 10 passes in a row. He was having to find receivers short when the defense knew he was trying to do it. He had a couple of long passes. One was on a trick play, so that kind of fooled the defense. But at the same time, I see him standing up, making decisions under pressure. When he gets hit, he gets back up and he continues to problem solve. Now, the answer to the problem isn't always as good as it ought to be, but he's continuing to problem solve. And frankly, in this game, he completed passes at a much higher rate than I thought he would. He was 13 of 17, for goodness sake, against the Jaguars, while, you know, we had all kinds of things breaking down around him.
That was Trevor Maddich, as we hear the Kentucky Wildcats fight song, which our producer Connor, Kentucky Van, is trying to troll me over a game that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. So great work, Connor. We will get to that game a little bit later. But back to the Diana Russini report here. You know, a lot of what her snippet in her most recent article that she dropped this Thanksgiving week was about Mike Vrabel. In his job security, and she's, you know, saying that based off multiple reports from highly ranked officials with the Titans that, you know, they are looking at Vrabel for long-term success. But what interests me the most was wrapping up this little brief snippet was this little part, and I quote her article here. While the Titans are still trying to figure out if rookie quarterback Will Levis is their quarterback of the future, the clearest vision of this team has is who will be the leader for years to come. Ready, steady, Vrabel. So it seems as if the Titans right now are more committed to Mike Vrabel than they are to Will Levis being the future quarterback.
Well, duh.
I don't know if that's a well duh kind of thing, because if it's me and I'm looking at what Will Levis has done with this group around him, all the interchangings of the offensive line, the amount of pressure. I mean, he's one of the most hit quarterbacks in the league, and he's only started, what, four games?
He's no Sam Howell, though, but that's
He's on a Sam Howell pace, Nick.
Yes.
Sam Howell's played the whole season.
That is true.
He's about on the same pace as Sam Howell. So my question to you and to the listener, 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you think the Titans organization should be prioritizing Mike Vrabel over this young quarterback that they just traded up in the second round to go out and get? So I'll start with you, Nick.
Should they prioritize Vrabel over Will Levis or vice versa? I would say, look, you know what you already have in Mike Vrabel. That's why I posed – that was my candid answer to you as well, duh. Well, maybe it isn't as obvious, but I would still lean more toward Mike. However, I think the play of Will Levis can sway this opinion. And this is a good question because it's a good ongoing question. It's a good investigative question.
I would still lean a little more toward Vrabel, personally, because you know what you're going to get from him, ultimately, moving forward, and you know that the product that he has put out makes sense. Now, the thing that's most exciting to me about going with Vrabel, Junie, is has he worked with young quarterbacks from the very get-go to where he can develop them into a franchise quarterback? I would say no. He's not really had that opportunity yet.
No.
So for me, that is the most exciting part to this. And we just talked about the last couple segments. We want to see this team be built properly. And if they build it properly, this team will go on a tear. That's the hope. So I would say Vrabel, but what say you, 615-737-1025, text Junie and I, who you would rather go with moving forward, just someone that you would lean on in the future, Mike Vrabel or quarterback Will Levis. Let us know.
So I do know a guy that is very passionate about this topic, and he's actually just called in. We're going to head to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com right now. We got Adam from Portland on the line. Adam, happy Thanksgiving. Hope it went well for you. And what is your thoughts on this whole Diana Russini report?
Man, happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too. Hey, I usually agree with a lot of things Nick says, but him answering that question like that scares me. It lets me know that they're going to screw this up. Like, so badly they're going to screw this guy up. And, like, it should be it should be 100% of people going, it's the quarterback. Like, if you've seen him play for 2 minutes, you're like, this is the quarterback. He hasn't screwed anything up yet. He has looked nothing but sharp so far. But Vrabel, you can see, like, one after another example of him making mistakes, him not coaching. Tell me who he's coaching up, guys. So that's kind of where I am right now. It's hard to get the quarterback right, but I think they got it right. And I think you have to understand, like, Peyton Manning could have done it without a head coach. Tom Brady could have done it without a head coach. If you're good enough at quarterback, you could do it without a head coach. But if you're a really good head coach, you can't do anything with a lousy team, man. So I've got to lean on the quarterback all day, dude. He's young. He's sharp. I don't know how you wouldn't like him. And he's my pick. And it should be everybody's pick, which lets me know that we are so far away with, like, management, leadership, because I think they feel the same way you do. That's why they come out and make this stupid statement, commit to a coach when he's 3-7, you know, 3-14 in the last 17. That's stupid to come out and do that right now. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love you, Nick, but I think it was a wild thing to say. I think it's the quarterback.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for the call, Adam. And I agree with Adam. I think you got to prioritize the quarterback. And to his point, you know, Levis, has he played perfectly? No. But, I mean, with the amount of pressure that is on him, and again, we're talking about he's on a Sam Howell pace. This offensive line is in shambles. It is to the point now where they are starting Jalen Duncan at left tackle. And again, I was there in training camp watching Jalen Duncan practice. I was like, there's no way this guy sees the field this year. No way. And again, he has a lot of untapped potential. I get it. He's very athletic. He's got the size. He's got all the intangibles. He needs to get coached up into that position. A lot of potential. Not saying that the kid is awful, but I didn't think that he should be playing this year. And now, and what I think is one of the biggest games of the year, because if they lose this game, Nick, with Carolina coming into Nissan Stadium, if they lose this game, I mean, there's going to be an uproar in this town. And so I think that as of right now, this is one of the biggest games of the year, because it is going to dictate a lot for the future of this Tennessee Titans team. So I don't know. I think Will Levis, for what he's gotten, has looked really, really good. And
oh,
we're not talking
absolutely
about the big drop passes by Chig and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and all these things around him, with offensive line receivers, anything. And or in this too, as much as we love Derrick Henry, there has been a lack of running game the last couple of weeks. And what is a rookie quarterback's best friend? I preach this all the time. It's a running game. And right now, he has nothing. And he's still, in certain points, looking impressive.
Yeah, it's an aged Derrick Henry for sure. But at the same point in time, I think the reason I'm going this way, opposed to maybe you and Adam just in this one conversation, is I'm a little more old school in terms of maybe just where you want to build your foundation from. And I love having a structure as a person. So someone with more knowledge than me, I like to have in front of me. But at the same point in time, you know, it's always good to lean on yourself, and it's good to lean on your talents, and it's good to lean on other people that compliment you, and you are with what you surround yourself with. And so I think for Will Levis's sake, you have to look at it as okay, how can these guys help elevate me and how can I elevate them? It's a give and take, and it's a win-win for everyone when they're just growing up in this league. And so, look, you just said Jalen Duncan. You know, you would not have seen him out on the field.
I would have never expected it.
And he's an athletic guy. He could grow into being a decent – now, we're not saying elite or anything like that – a decent tackle. Okay, cool. He could grow into that possibly. It's way too early to say. But it's easy to say right now, okay, we know he's not – and like a starter caliber. No, he's not. Look at the line. They stink this year. We know that they're on a pace to allow the quarterback to get hit the most, right? So now I think that long-term-wise, when you build up this Titans team, when you take a look at it from a 3,000-foot view, you could remove a lot of these older pieces. Derrick Henry's not going to help this team long-term. We know that. He's a guy that has a storied history so far in the NFL. Give Tajay Spears the ball more. I don't know what it's going to look like. They've given him more snaps every now and then. Not to say that he's the guy, Junie, but I'm saying at some point you have to turn the page to a different running back.
I just – the way they've won this year is committing to the run with
Derrick
Henry.
They do.
And I still think that that is the identity under which this team has built on. But we got another caller here on the phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Johnny wants to weigh in on the conversation. Go ahead, Johnny.
I just want to say I think the relationship between the coach and the quarterback is going to have to go hand in hand, because Mike Drake is going to put a lot of faith in Will Levis going forward, because he is going to be our future quarterback going forward at this point right now. So it's something that you got to look at, is you have to make sure that he, meaning Mike Vrabel and new general manager, put the pieces around this quarterback to where he can be successful. Because right now, you look at it, offensive line around the whole NFL is poor, and the Titans are leading in that conversation. Their offensive line is terrible. So I still think that, yes, Mike Vrabel is going to be the centerpiece right now for this organization, but Will Levis is going to be the guy.
Appreciate the call, Johnny. Thank you for calling in and weighing in. And I agree. Listen, the quarterback, in my opinion, is the most important aspect, because you're more likely to win a Super Bowl with a really good quarterback than you are with a really good head coach. I mean, that's just the name of the game. And in today's NFL, throwing the ball and being an accurate, high-end quarterback is what's going to get you to a Super Bowl. But all in all, I actually do have a coaching comp that I want your opinion on, and maybe some of the listeners' opinion on as well. So I'm just thinking about what kind of, you know, coach Vrabel is. And the guy that I kind of thought of that kind of goes hand in hand is Marvin Lewis.
Ooh.
Marvin Lewis, he was with the Bengals for so many years. And when the Bengals had talent, they were always in the playoffs. They always had a good record. They were always a tough team to play. But when, you know, those years where they had injuries and the years that, you know, they didn't necessarily have the most talented roster, they had a bunch of losing seasons. And it was up and down. He was an over 500 coach. And his record as a coach, or his winning percentage, was a 5-1-8. Vrabel's right now is a 5-5-4. And so I kind of see Mike Vrabel as being more of a less a Marvin Lewis type of coach. And again, this is early in his tenure. He had a really talented team when he came and took over this roster.
Uh-huh.
But now that it's kind of slipping down, Marvin Lewis had a bunch of 3-win, 4-win seasons with the Bengals, and he only really won when he had the talent around him. And I'm starting to kind of feel like Mike Vrabel might be a Marvin Lewis kind of situation.
Could be.
So,
could be.
All in all, they got a big game this weekend, Nick. The Panthers right now are 1-9. They're the worst team in the league, and they are coming in to play the Titans at home, where they have looked their best. This is a must-win for the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, we are going to preview their matchup against the Carolina Panthers and which key matchups in the game are the Titans going to have to win in order to get their first win in almost 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to talk about that next. You're listening to Riddle and the Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in to Riddle and the Reporter. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern tomorrow from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 12 matchup against the Panthers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Welcome back into the program, talking Titans versus Panthers. Panthers 1-9, Titans 3-7 on the year. Worst team in the league coming into Nissan Stadium, and the Titans are riding a 3-game losing streak, and they need one to get back on the horse and get off the schneid. So what are your first thoughts on this matchup here? We got some injuries. Treylon Burks is out. Chris Hubbard is out. And then Terrell Edmonds and Luke Gifford are both questionable. The Panthers, they got a lot of players out. They got Hayden Hurst, tight end. He's going to be out. Jeremy Chinn, starting safety, he is out. Sam Franklin is questionable. Marquise Hayes is questionable. Some big ones here. C.J. Henderson is doubtful, and then J.C. Horn, cornerback, is doubtful. So they got some pretty good players that might not be playing, and their defense is really kind of the stronghold of their team.
So you want to know what stands out to me about you reading that off is, man, this would have been a great game for Treylon Burks to have a good game.
Yeah.
This would have been a phenomenal game for him to come back into the lineup healthy and that young buck going off, because they're missing a lot of key pieces. It's a 1-9 team. Yes, that's true. However, if this is a team that is missing that many pieces, this is essentially a preseason game for Treylon Burks to look at it and go, oh, I can go into this and, you know, just be myself. Well, that should be every game. But for him, coming back from injury, it's all been a mental game, I feel like, watching him out there on the field, Junie. So this would have been a great game for him to come back. But that's just the first question that I would pose to myself, is what would have it looked like with him in there? But I think really quickly, a key point I'd like to make is we just talked about maybe the Titans' offense, what we would want to see, how they can exploit that. I think that's perfect. We know that they're missing some very key pieces in their secondary and up front as well. I would also say, for the Titans' sake, stick to your game plan. You have really one weapon to really worry about. I don't really think the running back is anything too crazy to worry about. I mean, they're not bad running backs, but I think that the one guy you have to watch out for, really one, DJ Chark. Just watch out for him. You got to hold him, and I don't think you really even need to have a QB spy in this game either, because Bryce Young, let him make those dumb decisions himself.
And Adam Thielen.
Yeah, that's true. They have Adam Thielen. I always forgot that he did sign there. So, but it's interesting to see what they do have. But I think that for the Titans defense, this is also a game where they go, this is a confidence boost for us, Junie.
Well, in the Carolina Panthers, they are also the 24th ranked run defense in the league. So, again, what has been the mantra of this team when they're playing at Nissan Stadium is get Derrick Henry going, establish the play action, and they're really good at taking deep shots.
They've been great.
We saw it with Ryan Tannehill in the Chargers and Bengals game, and, of course, we saw Will Levis light up the Falcons at home for four touchdowns. So, you know, this with their starting corners being doubtful to play in this game, especially a guy like J.C. Horn. I mean, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this as if, you know, establish the run with Derrick Henry, control the line of scrimmage, because really, you know, these two teams are very comparable.
They are.
You know, the Panthers' offensive line, I would say, is also bottom three in the league, and we've seen how the Titans' defense steps up when the opposing offense is on a hard count at Nissan Stadium, and they seem to play like a different team at home.
They really do.
And so, for me, there's just no excuses for them not to get this one done, in my opinion.
I think so. I mean, this is a game, like I just said, it is a big confidence boost for you to go into a game like this, knowing that you can handle a team for the most part. And look, you've had some tough matchups lately, but the Titans also, I mean, look, for Will Levis's sake, this is another case in point, another nail that he can put in his coffin for, in terms of him, you know, growing as a quarterback in the NFL. And I feel like this could be also a game where he's not going to throw four touchdowns necessarily, but just get used to playing at home and utilizing that energy that you get. You know, talking to athletes all the time about how they feel when they play at home, it gives you a different type of energy. Look,
I mean, you know what that energy is like in Pittsburgh, Junie, when they play that song every fourth quarter. You know how riled up it gets.
Yep.
And so I think that for this group, if they can come in to Nissan Stadium and pop off, which, by the way, they kept the naming rights for their new stadium, which was the dumbest thing ever this week. So
yeah,
that was also in not in our headline, but just to give it a soft
mention. Well, we talked about that in our
show
last week.
We did, yes, really fast. But anyway, I mean, look, just taking a look at what the Titans can do, this is a game where you can feel better about yourself. Just stick to your game plan. Don't deviate too much. And, Will, please make the right reads and just be patient with the ball. Don't throw it with haste. Don't throw it with the sense of, okay, I could just throw it out there and D-Hop's always going to be there. No, let's try to make sure the ball is evenly spread out. And look, you're not going to have very much time with this offensive line, Junie, but I would like to see Derrick Henry pop off a little bit in this game.
So here are the matchups that I'm going to be watching for, and they're very similar. I need Arden Key to dominate Akeem Ekwonu.
Yeah.
I mean, Ekwonu was a top 10 pick. He's really, like, his size-wise, he's a guard. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that was an elite tackle at NC State. He's a guard. They need to bump him in there. They're trying to play him at left tackle. It's not natural. The pass rush has to take advantage of him and take the ball away from Bryce Young. That's number one. But on the opposite side, with Jalen Duncan being in the mix, Brian Burns, he's a bad boy. And that's the one guy on this defense that really scares me, especially with all of their injuries that they have going on. I need the Titans to be able to limit Brian Burns and Arden Key to step up in this matchup. Whichever left tackle gets the best production in this game, I feel like that team is going to have a higher chance at winning this game. That's where it's going to come down to me. And for me, I think with Will Levis and his size and his strength, he's going to be a little bit more durable in the pocket rather than a Bryce Young who's miniature and small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he could take the beating that the Titans might lay on him, especially the way that this front seven plays at home. So that's what I'm going
to
be looking at.
And one quick stat as well that pops off to me is the Panthers have allowed 16 rushing touchdowns this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a significant amount. So if you're a betting person, Derrick Henry anytime touchdown scorer might be the bet for
maybe
you.
Maybe Jeff Simmons too.
But yeah, you can already kind of tell the way that we're leaning. We'll make our official game predictions in the final segment of the show coming up at 10:45. But coming up in hour number two, the Predators, 4-game win streak, some thrillers this past week that they had. Young guys stepping up. The reporter, Nick Keiser, is going to give us all the latest, kicking off hour number two. You're listening to Riddle and the reporter, Junior Riddle, Nick Keiser, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.